I just figured I would let you all know that and put that out there. So this just happened just like yesterday. So let's turn. We're going to be teaching out of Malachi 3:3 today. But before I get there, I'm going to kind of go backwards a little bit and talk about the last few weeks. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about self-discipline. We started off this month talking about how to discipline ourselves. And we were talking about it as we were teaching about tithes and learning about the importance and the value of tithe. And we started off with self-discipline. And self-discipline, we talked about the word tithe is based on the Hebrew number 10. And then we talked about the symbol for the number was called a yod. And that yod looked like a little apostrophe thing. And that the yod is a Hebrew symbol for what exists in a steady state continually. And then we moved into talking about how 10 is the perfect number. And that it signified the perfection and the completeness of divine order. It implied that nothing is wanting, that the number and the order are perfect, and that the whole cycle is complete. And then we went the next week to talk about in the midst of our generations and how in this ungodly society that we live in and things are rapidly moving away from the principles of the Word of God, how we must discipline ourselves in our daily lives to live godly. And then we looked at John 14:23, where Jesus replied and says, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." And I'll just kind of stop here for a minute. And what Jesus is saying, he says, I underline, obey my teaching. Kind of keeps it simple. Kind of when you're doing missionary work and going out and serving, doing what you got to do. Just obey what he says. Obey what he's teaching you. Obey his word. Just step in obedience and let God do what he's supposed to do. Let God do God. Let God be God. Just obey. Sometimes we have to close our minds and our mouths and just let him do what he's got to do. So, and then I underline, the we will come to them and make our home with them. I love that. He says, well, hey, look, me and the Father, me and Pops coming hanging out with you. We're going to be with you and we're going to dwell with you together. We're going to hang out. It's just going to be us. But first, you must obey my teaching and my word. And I love that. So then we went the following week and started talking about what we treasured. And we talked about how the one thing that we need to learn about in what we treasured is that God owns everything. We own nothing. None of it's ours. None of it belongs to us. He owns it all. And we talked about how when we look at it that way, that's game over. It's done. We don't need to really worry about anything else because he owns it all. It's all his. And we talked about how we need to stop playing games with God's stuff. It's his. So we need to focus on those things. So now today we're going to move from the what we learned about the self-discipline and move into what we think we treasure and what we're supposed to treasure, and moving into now the teaching of today, just kind of bringing us to where we are today. Malachi 3:3, which is for today, it says, "He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. And then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness." I'm going to stop right there because this is cool. And I'm going to tell you why this is really cool. Because look at this. Look at this. The process, if you don't know the process of refining metals, it's really cool because I didn't know the process, so I went and looked. And this is so cool. The raw material is heated with fire until it melts into a form unrecognizable from its original form. The impurities separate and rise to the surface, and they're skimmed off, leaving only the pure material. Without this heating and melting, there can be no purifying. As the impurities are skimmed off, the reflection of the worker appears in the smooth, pure surface. Well, then I was like, whoa, wait a minute now. So here's the key. I started realizing that as we are purified by God, His reflection in our lives become more and more clear to those around us. As we get in the fire and get purified and those impurities come to the top, we get to skim off all the junk. And what's left behind is this pure thing with the reflection. It's so cool to me. I love that. So let's continue reading. It says, starting in verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change. So, amen, amen. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, How are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In our tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Now we've read this part each week. And the reason why we read it each week is because I've underlined the piece that our nation is under a curse. Our whole nation is under a curse. And it's because we're not following God. We stepped out from under His protections. We are doing things our way instead of His way. And because when we do things our way, we get ourselves in trouble, y'all. Verse 14 says, you have said, it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out His requirements? Stop there. Really? Really? I mean, what do we gain by carrying out His requirements? How stupid is that? Hey, blockhead, remember that? I mean, whoa. Really? What do we gain by carrying out His requirements? I wouldn't say that. And so what do we gain by carrying out His requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly, evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. Complain, complain, complain. I can't believe this. So let's talk about this. There could be a little explanation. The tithing system began during the time of Moses. The Levites received some of the tithe because they could not possess the land of their own. In Malachi's day, the people were not tithing, so the Levites went to work to earn a living, neglecting their God-given responsibilities to care for the temple and for the service of worship. Leviticus 27:30 says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. In Deuteronomy 14:22, it says, be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. See how that when we start off in the history talking about the discipline and moving into, you know, understanding, you know, what we value brings us to where we are today. See, the people of Malachi ignored God's commands to give a tithe of their income to the temple. Malachi urged the people to stop holding back their tithes and to stop keeping it from God. This is what He deserves. He was trying to tell the people, y'all got to stop doing this. It's not going to be pretty. You need to follow and do what God says. Please follow and do what He's saying. The last verses in verses 13 through 15 describe that the people with an arrogant attitude towards God. When the people are asking, what good does it do to serve God? What they're really saying is what good is it for me? Or in other words, have you heard, what's in it for me? What do I get? How do I benefit from this? What's the point or the purpose? Because other people are not doing it and they're still getting stuff, so why should I? That's really what they're saying. See, and when we do this, those are selfish words coming out of our mouth. It's all selfish stuff. We're being selfish. And when we're doing that, we are not honoring God at all. We're not honoring Him at all. See, the real question we ought to be asking is what good does it do for God? Not what good does it do for me or for us. What good does it do for my God? We do for God just because He's God. He deserves to be served and He deserves our best. Now, let's be honest. During these difficult times that we live in, and I understand it because I see what you see and I feel a lot what you feel. You know, we got so many people thinking about their money. Let's be honest. We're thinking about our money, you know. And what are we thinking about? We're thinking about we want it, we need it, or don't have enough of it. I mean, that's really what we're thinking about. So we are forced to face daily things that we see all around us, like our national debt, like not having a good enough job or needing a job, like oil and gas prices. People are still struggling right now through the poor housing market. Folks are still losing their homes and folks are getting their homes foreclosed on and closed on. And you know, people are caused to reevaluate their daily living and the things that they do, their needs and their plans. See, but here's the thing. The things that we need to be asking ourselves, do these plans match those of the Lord? See, we need to think about these things that are happening like in Malachi. See, take a hold of God's financial plan instead of your own. What is God's financial plan? Well, let's talk about this. God's plans, first I know, are the very best, and it's all over in His Word. So His plan is going to be better than your plan. Whatever His plan is, it's going to be so much better than what you think or what you got or what you know. And we think we know some stuff, don't we? We think we're smart. We think we know some stuff. You know, and God's looking down going, yeah, okay, I'm going to let you have that for a minute. And then when you wake up, I got something for you. So here it is. He has given us the wisdom we need to avoid the bondage of debt and maintain His blessings. God's financial plan of promise requires an active participation from us. So first, we need to be active in His plan. It's the requirement. It requires us to step out in faith and actively participate by our giving. See, so if that's not clear, say that's not clear. Well, I'm glad it's not clear because I'm going to help make it clear. So thank you for letting me know it's not clear. Let's make it real clear. Here we go. So I'm going to give you four clarifying points to make it very clear. Those four clarifying points are the command, the purpose, the promise, and the penalty. The command, starting with the command is very clear. The command is when we tithe, it should come from our first fruits. We are to also bring it into the storehouse. So let's talk about when we tithe. When we tithe, it should be from our first fruits and not our leftovers. So here's the thing. I'm going to read from Proverbs 3:9, and I'm going to use the Message translation because when I read this translation, it couldn't get any plainer than this, and I loved how plain it was in the Message. So, and it kind of, when I read this, put a summation of the last 3 weeks of what we've been studying in this version. So it says, trust God from the bottom of your heart get that. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Makes sense to me. Love that too. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, He is the one who will keep you on track. Love that. Don't assume that you know it all. We don't know anybody that does that now, do we? Run to God, run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything that you own and give Him the first and the best. Your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. But don't dare, friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under His loving correction. It is the child He loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind us all. That's pretty plain, huh? We can follow that and get that. We understand that. See, all right, see, now it's getting clear. All right. We are to bring what we have into the storehouse. So then I was like, okay, God, define me. I understand what the storehouse is today, but really, what was the storehouse back then? And maybe we should tell the people what the storehouse was back then. So let's talk about the storehouse. What is the storehouse? Well, originally, the storehouse was a place in the temple for storing grain and food for later. See, they used that as their tithes. And so people brought stuff and they store it, grain, food, and whatever, in the storehouse. And the priest lived off of those gifts. Today, you can bring grain and you can bring food, and we all know we love to eat, so that's okay. We can bring those things, but today, the storehouse is the church. And so we bring our tithes and our offerings here to accomplish the work God would have us do. See, so where do we start? Well, we begin by looking at how honest we are with ourselves. And we ask ourselves, are we being honest with God? See, do honest people take from God? Honest people don't take from anybody. So we surely aren't going to take from God. So, but here we read earlier in Malachi that God was feeling that the people were robbing Him, not just a little bit, but daily. I hope none of us are any of those people. And we don't ever have a problem of going to God and asking Him when we need something. We don't seem to have that problem. God, I need you for this. Or Lord, take care of this for me. God, heal my so-and-so and this and my families. And this. You know, we don't have that problem. You know, so Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will not be room enough for you to store it. Now, most of us are taught you don't want to test the Lord. But here's the thing. Here He's saying, go ahead, test me in this one. You'll be glad you did. Please test me in this one, because this is something I got for you. This is for my children. Test me, because I want to throw this back to you. I want to pour this stuff out to you. I want to give you these blessings. I want it to be overflowing for you. Please test me in this. He's begging us. Test me in this. So now let's talk about the purpose. The purpose. How can we clarify the purpose? Well, the Lord asks us to give to the benefit, to benefit both our own financial health and to the health of the community. Tithing allows us for three important things. Those three things are to provide for the work of God, to prove the faithfulness of God, and to properly honor God. So let's talk about providing for the work of God. Our tithes provide for the ministry of the church in its day-to-day operations and assist those in need, both physically and spiritually. Acts 2:44 says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I did another comparison. I thought, I love that. Let's see what the message had to say. So I'm going to read that. It said, everyone around was in awe, all of those wonders and signs done through the apostles, and all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple and followed by meals at home. Every meal, a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praise God. People in general liked what they saw, and every day their number grew as God added to those who were saved. When I read that, especially the starting of the verse 46, they followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple and followed by meals in the home, and every meal was a celebration and it caused people to grow. That made me think of Broad Street Church. That really made me think about what we do here and how we do stuff here, and you know what we, you know, that stood out to me. All right, now let's talk about proving the faithfulness of God. See, when you and I tithe, the Lord promises to bless us for our faithfulness. He tells us, test me now in this and I will pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Anyone in here want that kind of blessing? Overflowing, never stopping, can't get enough of it. When I think of overflowing stuff, the faucet is on and you can't keep filling up stuff, your glass, and it's just ongoing forever. I love that. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of the heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. And we read that earlier. Let's talk about properly honoring God. Well, remember that we talked about how God owns it all. Game over. He owns everything. It's all His. Tithing allows us to express reverence for the Lord, because He is the source of all good things and stuff in our lives. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Now that same verse I looked up again in the message. Still a lot of comparison this week. And it says, so my dear friends, don't get thrown off course. Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. He brought us life using the true word, showing us off as the crown of all His creatures. Woo, I love that. We are the crown of all His creatures. And He's showing us off. See, we honor Him when we acknowledge His blessing in our lives, and then He turns around and blesses us. Remember, our Father will never let us be in need when we are obedient. When we just say yes and we just obey. See, God is saying two things to you. He's saying, obey me and trust me. Obey me and trust me. Obey me, obeying God in all areas of your life, including your finances, is using good wisdom. Blessings will always follow when we are in the will of God. Trust me, He's saying. God doesn't say He might pour out our blessings if you obey. God says, I will give you more than you feel like you can receive. And these are his words. That's the words from the Father. He's saying, I will do these things. And then in Luke 6, 38, it says, Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. See, we simply just cannot outgive God. We simply can't outdo him. Now, let's consider the promises. Well, I'm quite sure that those people who have followed the Lord's word and followed his promises and were receiving things by following his word and received his promises, nobody was disappointed. Because what did he say? The cup's going to be running over. It's going to be overflowing. The people who obeyed and stepped into his word and actually are walking testimonies of that. Talk to some of those people who are walking faithfully in that stuff. So when we tithe, we get some of those promises. What are those promises? Well, he says, I will open you the windows of heaven. And that's Malachi 3:10, where it says, in other words, you will experience the Lord's provision directly. That there'd be nothing in the way, nothing getting in the way of you receiving the Lord's provision. That's huge. No distractions, no, nothing blocking. You get a direct link and he's going right to you. He says, I will pour out for you a blessing until it overflows, as it says in verse 10. See, as we honor God, he increases the blessing in our life in wonderful ways that we can never imagine. He says, I will rebuke the devourer in verse 11. The Father will protect you, your family, your job, and your possessions. He knows you have stuff. He knows that you have a job. He knows that about what's going on with you and your family. But he says, obey me and I'm going to protect you. And the devourer can't touch you. Power. Verse 12, all the nations will call you blessed. See, the Lord will give you a powerful testimony among your friends and your families and your loved ones and your job, and many will come to know him through your walk. They're going to come to know him through your act of obedience and what you're doing. Even if your example in life to follow God comes later, and it doesn't matter when you get it. If it comes later, your children, your grandchildren will all learn from your example. So if you haven't been getting it, okay, today you can get it. Because for generations, they will see, you know, may not understand, but your grandchildren, your children, folks will understand what you did and will learn by your obedience. And through your testimony. Thank you, Lord. Let's have our worship come up. As we talk about considering now the penalties, there are penalties. So, we heard from God that refusing to tithe is the same as robbing God, and discipline is sure to follow, as it says in Malachi 3:8. So what does it really mean if we choose to rob God? Well, first of all, you need to understand that this is rebellion. And unbelief in God and who he is and being unthankful. It's like we're not being grateful for what he's doing and what he's done in our lives. And because of your rebellion, unbelief, and ingratitude, what happens? We miss out on some of the awesome provisions and blessings that he's saying he wants to do and how he wants to pour out into us. You are experiencing the effects of disobedience in other areas of your life. Things don't go the way you want them to go. Things don't happen the way you want them to happen. We get outside the protection of God. And one of the greatest penalties is we damage our testimony because of our unbelief. We don't step into what He wants us to be. And when we damage that testimony, how can generations understand what was going on and what we did and why we did it? Trusting God and obedience. And truthfully, y'all, sometimes family don't understand what you're doing. They don't understand the walk. They don't understand the sacrifice. See, it's not easy serving God. It's not easy doing what we do. It's really easy to just kind of shrug it off and live the world of, you know, follow what the enemy has for us. But He's been lying to us all along, tricking us, deceiving us, taking from us, destroying our families, destroying our relationships, destroying our schools, destroying our communities, drugs, alcohol, pornography, immorality. Just, it's everywhere. It's all lies. All lies. Quick, short, simple satisfactions that just don't please any of us at all, maybe for a short period of time. But He's trying to get you cooked and hooked and tricked and messed up and thinking about anything else other than Him. Anything else other than serving God. But if you're in this building, you recognize that what we're supposed to be doing is serving Christ. That's our call, serving Christ. So the question is, well, let's just bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Lord. So what we need to be asking ourselves in this act of obedience, in this place of discipline and self-discipline, in this place of being refined. Let me go back to Malachi 3:3, that process of refining the raw material, heated in the fire until it melts into a form that is unrecognized from its original form. Wow. Having those impurities separate and rise to the surface. See, the question is do we believe in God's word? And do you have faith that God will save you and provide for all your needs? And do you trust Him with everything? Your lives, your ties, your family, your jobs. See, if you do, if you watch, He will provide for you. And He will fulfill His promises. And He'll do it because of your obedience.
Maybe pass me out of the way.
So now maybe you have been one of those individuals and have been tithing and doing good works as a servant for the Lord. Well, I need to let you know that God does appreciate that, and so does the church. However, it's my job to tell you that's not enough to get you to heaven. That's not the place. That's not the only thing that we need to do to get to the place that we're supposed to go. We need to do more than just tithing and doing good works. He loves it, He appreciates it, but there's more. We need to give Him our hearts. We need to give Him ourselves. We need to make Him Lord of our lives. We need to have a greater commitment and understanding of who He is. See, by accepting Him as Lord in your life, we get to ensure we get all the blessings. We get to ensure that our names are written in the book of life. We get to then not have to worry so much about what other people think of you as being a follower of Christ, following His word and obeying who He is. Why? Because He said, the devourer can't touch you. You're protected. You're all protected. Won't y'all stand with me? Father, I just thank You right now, God, that You are taking us into that holy place, Lord. Father, we need to be purified, Lord. Our hearts and our minds, God, need to be purified, God. We want to be heated like that raw material, turning into a form that's unrecognizable to our own selves, so that we can have all of the stuff, the junk, scraped away and skinned off the top, so that Your reflection is all that comes off of us, Lord. Without this purification, this can't happen, God. So come into our lives, God, and purify us. Teach us to be people who are self-disciplined, God. Teach us a people that we understand who You are. Because we must remember You are in control of everything. You destined all of our steps, God. And we're so grateful. And we love You, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you have... I feel there's three things that we should pray for. Four, actually. If you are in this room, and I do not want to assume that everyone in here has given their lives to Christ. If you have not, I would like to pray for you. If I can get some members of our healing team to come up, and our prayer team, and the pastors to come up. Because if you have a financial need and you need prayer for a financial need, I want you to come over here. If you're having legal battles, and I feel as folks are going through a legal situation and you got legal stuff, I want you to come over there and get prayed for. If you got a rift in relationships and with family, you got some personal rifts with family and relationships, come hit down here in the center. We're going to pray for you for that. So, make your way down, and we're going to pray over those things, and God bless you. And the altar's open if you need prayer for anything else.